Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Bears play.
Yeah, I got to reacquaint myself with the idea of football as a sport.
Out of the read option. Here's the pitch, and it's dropped. And it's on the ground. It's still loose. Far side of the field. It's scooped up by the Bears, and they're going with it. Down the sideline. It's Eddie Jackson, and it's gone. Home run. Touchdown, Bears.
Rich Campbell, do you have any sense of whether or not this team can score conventionally consistently yet?
Yes, I do have that. And the answer is no.
Back to throw the slant. Busted up in the air by Amukamara. And intercepted by the Bears. Running down the sideline to the right side. Eddie Jackson's got the 40 of the Panthers. And he's going to go again. It is a touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
Can Trubisky take this grace period and improve himself so by the end of the year when they're playing the 49ers, the Browns, the Bengals, that they can actually move the ball through the air?
Side steps to the pocket. Going to throw. Going to go deep, too. It's got a man down the left side. It's got Cohen. Hits the gas. He's brought down inside.
Have you heard the new song yet, Rich?
I haven't heard the new song, no.
Okay,
you can tune in during the noon hour.
Yeah.
I'll have to.
Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins.
Let him throw the damn ball.
Middays on the Score.
The let him throw movement has not exactly caught on.
Let's just say it's going to have to continue unabated, the movement.
Yes.
This week.
4 for 7.
I flew halfway across the country. Well, I guess we're in the middle. So, yeah, I flew to the east on Friday. Had a night on Friday. Woke up Saturday. Did some stuff. Let him throw would not leave my brain all freaking weekend long.
The Bears aren't going to win anyway. I was wrong. It stuck with me too, man.
You know what it was?
Stuck with me too.
And different parts of it would come in. Like, I'm just like, I'm walking around, getting ready to do something. And we don't care what John Fox might say. Like, my God, I know I was part of writing it and producing it, but I still hate that it exists.
Oh, come on. No, you don't.
All right,
this one is just, it's right there for you.
Oh.
We don't care.
Right? It's just, it would not leave my head. A woman tweeted at us over the weekend, said, my husband is in the shower humming Let Him Throw. What have you done?
We don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. We don't care.
We really don't care.
And the theme is the same until John Fox takes the handcuffs off, if ever.
But they won.
Oh, yeah.
What a weird game and like a place to be. I understand why the reactions that like I was seeing on social media are kind of all over the place because it was fun. It was fun to watch the defense dominate.
Hey, man, to see that defense be like that, to see Eddie Goldman just like being the Coke machine that he is supposed to be in the middle of the line and then occasionally just eating people who are trying to block him. He's just devouring them on his way to the quarterback, let alone the Eddie Jackson game. Hell yeah, that was fun for a while. But were there still boos? I think people still booed a little bit at Soldier Field after the fifth three and out.
Yeah, the offense was tough to watch at times. It's like if you view the entire season through the purview of developing Mitch Trubisky,
yeah,
tough to really argue that was a step forward.
This is the thing, right? That was a win, and it was cool and fun and all that, but is that what we wanted? Not necessarily. The entire year is about the education of Mitch Trubisky, and I'm not sure he learned anything yesterday or we learned anything about him yesterday.
Right, but even if you can say the entire year is about the education of Mitch Trubisky. They traded up. They drafted a quarterback league, all of that stuff.
Mm.
You can win with a championship caliber defense. Like, you also can do that. And that defensive performance was great.
So we got Trent Dilfer, is what you're saying?
I'm saying you can do analysis of the Bears independent of the quarterback when it calls for it.
For sure, and that's what we will.
And the Bears defense has scored 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks and not allowed a single touchdown.
Yeah.
Like, that changes the conversation in the small term. Like, right? Macro. I don't know, I like to do the macro-micro thing a lot, but macro, still got a lot of questions about the quarterback and the future of the organization and how he fits with this coaching staff and all of that.
Uh-huh.
But in the micro,
good win.
Back-to-back wins where your quarterback completed 12 passes? That suggests the rest of the team has some nice stuff going for it.
They threw 24 as a team over the last 2 weeks, and that includes the Tariq Cohen halfback option touchdown pass.
Yeah.
2 defensive touchdowns in the last 2 seasons combined for the Chicago Bears, and 2 for Eddie Jackson in, what, the first 18, 19 minutes of the game yesterday.
First player in NFL history to have 2 defensive touchdowns in the same game over 75 yards. That surprised me. That surprised me a little bit. That's your guy, Eddie Jackson. You liked him on draft day.
I loved him on draft day. I mean, think about it. He broke his leg 1 year ago yesterday. And when he did break his leg, he was the best player on that Alabama defense. A lot of them would have told you that. He was just phenomenal on that defense. Still holds the record for interception return yards down there. And if he was going to come back healthy, that is an instinctive, very smart, good physical player who knows what to do when he gets the ball, and we saw it yesterday. Now, I love that dude, and that's looking like a steal right now for Ryan Pace.
It is, and I mean, in general, like, if you like how Mitch Trubisky has looked with nothing around him, right? And I still think most of us do like Mitch Trubisky and what he can be because of the talent and the attributes and all that. That's a Ryan Pace pick. Tariq Cohen, 70 yards yesterday, the one big play on offense.
Yeah.
That's a rookie. Obviously, Eddie Jackson having a great performance as a rookie. You look at the defense.
Eddie Goldman developing into what he is.
Right. 23-year-old player. The defense feels like the core of it is going to be around for a while. They've got money in the offseason. They'll have another, what, top 10, top 12 pick?
They're out of the top 10 right now. Out of the top 10 right now because they have as many wins as they had last year.
But what happened yesterday is not sustainable. Right, like, they're not going to continue. They've played some bad offenses, and their defense has not only capitalized on mistakes, but they've, you know, taken them to the house. Yeah. Like, that sort of thing. You're not going to win many NFL games when your quarterback is completing 4 passes.
I think that this ends up being the thing I think about the most. This is the 7th NFL game since 2000, in the year 2000, in which a team won while having fewer than 10 pass attempts. Okay? 7th time that's happened since the year 2000. 3 of those 7 are John Fox teams. This one yesterday, a Tim Tebow Denver team,
yeah,
and a Chris Wenke Carolina team. Deshaun Foster and D'Angelo Williams had big games that day for the Panthers.
I believe it.
This is the 3rd time John Fox has won a game where the quarterback has thrown 9 passes or fewer. So he's treating Mitchell Trubisky like Chris Wenke and or Tim Tebow. And Mitchell Trubisky is not supposed to be those guys. So we have a situation where we got to figure out. He is definitely coaching the aggressiveness out of Mitchell Trubisky for now. Trubisky admitted that he held the ball too much. He took some sacks. Olin Krutz was great this morning with Mullion Handley on specific plays where he thought Trubisky took 3 sacks he didn't need to take. So you are coaching the aggressiveness out of your self-proclaimed gunslinger. Is that okay? In the short term, that it gets coached out of him and it will come back as he learns more, as you feel more comfortable, as he feels more comfortable, or are you eventually in danger of screwing with this guy's head? I don't think Trubisky has that profile, but I think it's fair to start to concern myself with it since this is what John Fox likes to do.
It's also what the NFL does in terms of our analysis of it. Like, if I get a little meta for a second, we do so much analysis week to week in the NFL, right? Cubs season's over. Baseball season's done. The winter sports. Bulls aren't going anywhere. Hawks have goals of championships, but it's 82-game seasons. Like, now we settle in to the week-to-week grind of watching and thinking and microanalyzing Bears games.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this guy starts 150-plus games for the Bears, right? He's won his last 2. So I don't think it is yet a reasonable fear to think this guy is going to have his aggressiveness coached out of him, because I don't think that guys who have that type of arm strength, that type of accuracy, and that type of mobility just love swing passes and checkdowns to running backs. Like, I feel like when skill position talent surrounds Mitch Trubisky, he will utilize
and
it.
And when comfort level is there for him to be like, no, I know what I'm doing, and comfort level for the coaches is there to be like, no, we can trust him.
So just
I think you're probably right. It's awfully early.
It's so early, and they have – man, Tanner Gentry is the only – wide receiver who caught a pass yesterday because he was the only wide receiver who was targeted yesterday. Three people were targeted in the passing game. One was a running back, one was a tight end, one was a wide receiver. Tanner Gentry, Zach Miller, Tariq Cohen. This is not an NFL offense. Like, this, it's just not. So it's going to come because it can't possibly be worse.
Josh Bellamy had three snaps at wide receiver yesterday.
Yeah,
Josh Bellamy still exists.
Josh Bellamy is a thing.
And still is considered a viable option for an NFL offense in this town.
So, you know, when Martavis Bryant and or Jarvis Landry and or a second round wide receiver and or fill in the blank other piece or two or three are here and Mitch is still doing that, then talk to me about your concerns.
Okay.
But like,
let's just start. This is kind of, this is part of the conflict with John Fox that could be foreseeable, depending on when Mitch played and what it was going to be. We'll see if we're five games from now and Mitch is still taking some sacks that he doesn't necessarily need to take, or not taking some chances, and they're one game under 500, still holding delusions of either wild card or saving John Fox's job, and I feel like they're holding back Mitchell Trubisky, then I'll bring it up even further and stronger. But right now, I'm just kind of on the outlook for
it. Listen, man, if you are concerned about it, like, I'm just telling you where I'm at on it, and John Fox is trying to win. He is trying to win because he thinks if he wins, he keeps his job. And he's like, I'm a defensive coach, and if I show progress and the defense is good and Mitch Trubisky is still there, why wouldn't they keep me? That's how he's going to be operating. I don't think that there's a win total that saves John Fox, because I think Ryan Pace wants to put an offensive coach in with his quarterback.
But you've now created a situation where you want to keep Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell and such, and doing that without John Fox needs to be something you're sure of. You got to be sure that Fangio's not going anywhere.
And that goes back, I think, to my original point of, like, this is going to get confusing. The analysis of, like, short term, defense looks really good.
Right.
Big picture, Mitch doesn't have anything to work with. Really big picture, hiring the coaching staff that's going to groom this guy for the next 10 years. But does that come at the expense of the defense that is winning you games now? It's confusing because everyone's on a different clock. Right?
Yep.
Ryan Pace, a ton of job security. Mitch Trubisky, a ton of potential playing sooner than he needs to. John Fox seemingly has a defense that is ready to be a top 10 defense in the NFL right now with a defensive-minded coach.
It is. Didn't our guys at Pro Football Focus have them third in the NFL coming in before that performance yesterday?
Right, and we're supposed to look back at yesterday's game before we look ahead. I can't wait for the Saints game.
See what they can do against New Orleans.
What can they do against Drew Brees in a dome? Fast skill position players, a quarterback who actually, you know, can throw. Can Mitch Trubisky open it up when inevitably they're going to need to throw more than seven times to win?
Yeah, I was expecting more from Cam yesterday, but I have some Cam questions in general I look forward to talking about at some point during the day. I have Cam questions. I have a crazy individual stat line in yesterday's NFL slate that made me shake my damn head. Got all sorts of stuff. And we got to talk about Chris Bosio's firing, a surprise to many, and the impending hire that should make you not worry about Chris Bosio's firing.
Let's go through the rundown of the show real quick. Ron Coomer in studio at some point during the 10 o'clock hour. Jim Miller at 11 o'clock. We'll discuss if aggressiveness can be coached out of a quarterback this early with him. James Big Cat Williams at noon. It's brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. Your calls, your voicemails, and yes, we should revel in a win because they don't happen all that often with the star of yesterday's game. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
He works his tail off all week. We've seen him running. We've seen him playing. We've seen him practicing. And, you know, that just goes to show, you know, the work you put in is going to show up on Sunday, man. He's been working his tail off, and we're glad to have him over there, especially as a key starter on his defense.
That's Danny Trevathan on Eddie Jackson, who had a historic day in the NFL. First defensive player in NFL history with two scores of 75-plus yards in the same game. That's the hope, right? Nose for the ball? That's what you want to be able to describe your safety as.
Oh, my God.
A nose for the ball.
They haven't had one. They haven't had somebody with ball skills at safety since Mike Brown.
Right.
Been calling for that guy since Mike Brown. And maybe Eddie Jackson is that guy. Sure looks like it so far, because he's such a good return man as a punt returner that if he does happen to get his hands on the ball, look what he can do. The move on Cam Newton
was awesome. A little stutter step down the line. Yeah.
God.
Yeah, that was nice.
Very natural.
Some of it, though, it's like, and it's not, I don't even consider this throwing shade. It's just watching it. Like, how does Cecil drop that pitch from Cam Newton? Like, that wasn't like a, I felt like that was more of a
Samuel, Curtis Samuel.
Samuel. I felt like that was more of a giveaway than a takeaway.
Yes.
And then the ball just happened to be there and he runs down the field.
But we have seen so many guys try to scoop and score, scoop and run, who don't have the hands.
Sure.
At least he's got the hands. And he kept his feet in bounds because he's smart like that.
Right. But
as a runner.
But the interception, that's a takeaway. Prince Amukamara getting his hand in there, the deflection, Eddie Jackson making a play on the ball, running under it and scoring. So, like, of the two, I felt like one very lucky, one a spectacular defensive play.
I will give him both because I'm in that kind of mood.
Fair enough.
But yes, the takeaway.
Hey, the ball bounces your way, man. It's,
right?
It's part of the NFL.
Scoop and score.
Scoop and score.
And he's got the hands to do so and then the feet to stay in bounds. On the Amukamara deflection, that's Ed Donatell, who's getting a lot of love, as he should be these days. Ed Donatell prepared a little tip sheet for the secondary.
I read about that.
Said if they have two wide outs, one spread each side, watch the slant. That's what they do.
Right.
So Amukamara thought about that and said, all right, I'm going to win the slant. I'm going to beat, I think it was Benjamin, right? Beat Kevin Benjamin to the spot. Beats him, deflects it up in the air, and there you go.
And Danny Trevathan, who we just heard coming back.
Monster yesterday.
He's out there killing people. Like,
well, wait a minute.
He
almost did to Devontae Adams.
I'm glad he didn't. It was like when he got that one game suspension, he was away for a year. Because he just comes out and he is truck sticking people constantly, flying around. Like, Campy and I were talking about it before the show. When he's healthy, he is noticeably, like, he hits harder than most people. He's as fast as most people. Like, he is a damn good inside linebacker. And he was maybe what? Hicks had a great game. Goldman had a great game. Fuller, coming up and tackling, shedding blocks and tackling Cam
Jackson.
Newton. Obviously, Eddie Jackson, who we were just talking about. Like, you could probably name four or five defensive players before you even get to Danny Trevathan, who picked off Cam Newton and had an awesome game himself.
Like, mm-hmm.
That's a real defense the Bears have going on over there. Where, I mean, we were talking to Sam Munson of Pro Football Focus, and as much as everyone's talking about Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara is graded out better than him. They redid their entire secondary this offseason. Four new starters in the secondary from last year. It's legit, man.
When we all thought it was going to be the weakness, thought it was going to be a massive, massive weakness, the secondary as it developed.
I don't think anyone saw Kyle Fuller playing well.
No, not like this.
Yeah. Prince Amukamara struggled to stay healthy, but good when he's out there. He's been good, and then Fuller's been really good.
And I thought that once Quentin Demps got hurt, Adrian Amos, we had seen the ceiling on even last year,
right,
ready to write him off, but he has fit into what they're doing. It was an interesting game. There was it's obviously a win, but it got kind of awkward in the second half. I'm glad I'm not the only one who felt this way. Here's a few texts on it. I love the fact that the Bears got the win, but am I the only one that didn't really enjoy that game? The second half was painful to watch. Offensively, it was kind of painful to see three and out after three and out after three and out. A texter says he left the stadium with 4 minutes left because he was so upset with the offensive game plan.
Well, you're just trying to beat traffic then, sir. Like, if you gave him your money and 56 minutes of your time in terms of the game clock, then you're trying to beat that traffic on Lakeshore Drive. I don't blame you.
That second half was a big old yawn. I mean, the defense kept stopping him. That was good.
Yeah. Well, because that's the thing. Like, you have to win in the NFL, like win big in the NFL, you got to be elite at something. And most of the time, it's on offense with a great quarterback. But the Bears, against, again, inconsistent or bad offenses, because Cam Newton has not been good this year, and the Ravens were atrocious offensively, especially with their injuries at wide receiver, the Bears defense has beaten up on some really, really bad offenses.
Let's talk about Cam for a second. Now, he's had a couple of games where he's been really, really good and looking like the Cam of old in terms of like the full skill set, letting himself run and all that kind of thing. There's a fine line between looking calm and under control and looking slow and just kind of hanging around as trouble arises. Didn't he strike you as like really slow and methodical to a fault on several different kinds of plays yesterday?
Khalil got hurt, and then another one of their offensive linemen was hurt. It was, I think, the left guard. I don't remember. What was his name, Campy?
Trey Turner, the right guard,
got hurt, and Khalil the tackle also got hurt. He strikes me as the guy that needs to get on a roll. Like, he needs
to get the lather going.
Yeah, he's such a confidence player, a momentum player, and he never got it going. He kept getting hit. The Bears defense was bringing it, and it was almost like he was looking over his shoulder.
Yeah.
Instead of just snapping, reading, and going.
Yeah, it felt like he was kind of looking around and being awfully slow in the pocket there. And even when he moved around the pocket a little bit, it seemed very gettable. And then the fourth and two attempt, the slow-developing quarterback sneak.
It was exactly that. It was QB read draw, and he was trying to see where there was going to be an opening, and there wasn't.
He's
one.
Trying to be Le'Veon Bell or
right,
something.
Right, exactly.
Doing something like that.
That's exactly right.
But yeah, no, so Cam was, I'll tell you though, he's
been inconsistent this year.
He's very confident on where the shotgun snap is coming from and catching it. He doesn't even look down. It's just they've got that thing down there. I'd like Cody Whitehair to take shotgun lessons from the Carolina.
It's appreciating
center.
The little things. He doesn't even have to look at the center.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
He tried the other side, and Eddie Jackson was there. That's Ian Eagle and Dan Fouts with the audio from CBS, brought to you by IKEA. IKEA family members get 15% off kitchens, $1,500 or more, now through November 19th. Visit an IKEA store or IKEA.com. Some restrictions apply.
The bird and the beard.
Yes,
I
came
didn't
in. SpiegelandParkinsBets.com.
We did overs and unders yesterday. Didn't do them on Friday as we were doing our Cubs post-mortem for the most part. But, yeah, you had the bird and the beard and the screaming just high flying over came in. There was like, what, four, five of them?
Yeah, I mean, I stopped counting once the over came in, but I watched a lot of CBS games, man, because it used to be Fox, NFC, CBS, AFC, and now it's not like that with the coverage anymore.
And I have stopped dumbing down the overs and unders for the broadcast, but it appears I can't get too dumb. We had deep dish pizza.
We did. We had deep dish pizza B-roll. Hey, so I don't know if you know, that's the pizza that Chicago is known for.
I had heard such things.
Okay, I'm a Chicago guy. If you need me to tell you anything, I got you.
I had like a Ron Rivera and Julius Peppers and Bears uniforms or coaching gear. Those didn't come in.
That's way too next level. There's the bean and the deep dish.
I'll go back to deep dish pizza, the bean, and the moving camera shot down the river on the boat as it goes down the river.
Yes, got it. Because, Speaks, we got a nice skyline and a body of water.
Right.
You got to combine it.
Got to set those up.
312-644-6767. LT on the south side's on the score. What's up, LT?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Hey, I just wanted to tell everybody just to be easy. They can't have it both ways. You can't say on one hand the Bears beating up on inferior competition when just last year teams couldn't wait to play the Bears. That was the cure that ailed them, you know. So now we're beating other teams, and that means we're getting better. You know, every given Sunday, the Giants won a game. You know, that other team was thinking about, we can't wait to play the Giants. So, hey, it is what it is. It's an NFL team they beat. You played Vikings defense, Carolina's defense, Ravens defense. The offense will get better as you start putting more talent around the quarterback, but that defense is real.
I'm with you. I think that's a great synopsis of what's going on with the Bears, frankly.
It's exciting to see the defense be real, without a doubt. You know, I read those texts and spoke to the frustration of the offense because of what we thought the season was going to be about, you know, and what I still think the season is mostly about. But boy, that first half was fun, man. When's the last time you felt that good about a Bears defense? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'll quote two Tribune pieces, like Brad Biggs, I think, to LT's point. He's like, I think we can now confidently say that the Bears have bottomed out, that like last year was the bottom and who knows how high the ceiling will get, but they are climbing in the direction of being better. It won't be as bad as last season, which you would say, well, that's obvious. They won three games last season, but you never know that you've hit the bottom until you start, you know, crawling out a little bit. But then I won't go as far as David Haugh, where he was like, you know, this team might be a 500 team. I don't think what they did yesterday is sustainable in terms of scoring the ball. Like, I think that in terms of scoring the ball defensively, their defense isn't the 2000 Ravens. They're not going to shut out Drew Brees. They're not going to shut out, I would think, Matt Stafford and the Lions. Like, there are points to come on the Bears defense, and the Bears offense is going to still really struggle to score points.
I'm looking forward to watching the defense against those teams you referenced.
Me too.
And let's remember this: the schedule gets a hell of a lot easier towards the end.
And it should get easier, especially for Mitch. Like, it should be easier to see, like, Mitch Trubisky, oh, I don't know, throw 25 times in a game. Maybe, dare I say, 30 times in a game. Like that should be coming at some point.
You had the over-under of Mitch Trubisky passing attempts at 24.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. I was a little off on that one. That's the low. 24 is low.
I know. I think he's a total of 48 attempts in three games. You know?
That's absurd. What, 16 a game? That's ridiculous.
It's
a seven spot put in there.
Yeah. But, you know, the defense hasn't given up a touchdown in more than two games. I think it's nine quarters. The defense has yet to give up a touchdown.
While scoring three.
Yeah, while scoring three. So it's very, very fun to have what they have right now.
Sean in Romeoville, you're on Bears Monday with the Spiegel and Parkin Show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, man. Good to hear you guys. It's interesting, man. You help me get rational here, Speaks. It's what I kind of call like a pretty interesting confluence of circumstances. You know, you got a developing young quarterback. You got a coach who probably coaching for his job, and you got what might appear to be to this coach a winnable division now. I kind of thought the narrative changed about 3 weeks ago, and the season became all about Trubisky and his development and getting him ready for next year. So with all this kind of goulash going on, they are winning. How do I look at this? Because, you know, they could win the division. Things could happen. You never know how things are going to bounce in the NFL. Should this season still be about developing Mitch Trubisky, or should we start looking at this team as, hey, with Aaron Rodgers being down, with the other teams being kind of iffy, maybe there's a shot here. How do I look at all of this?
Well, the coaches are looking at it with the latter. I think the coaches are clearly, and maybe that's the way you have to go about your business in the NFL, is week to week, just try to win, and then you might catch lightning, because sometimes it does happen around the NFL. We've seen rookie quarterbacks, you know, do some very good things and some very survivable things with an elite level defense. I hope that they can serve both masters, right?
Yeah, I mean, let's slow down on a few things, though, to Sean's point. Like, I don't think the division is winnable. They're two games back in the loss column of Minnesota, and they lost to them head-to-head, right? Like, they're 3-4. Minnesota is 5-2.
They definitely think the division is winnable, these coaches, right? They have to go about their business that way.
Sure, they have to go about their business that way. But I don't...
For the fans, though.
Yeah, he was saying, how do I rationalize this? Yeah, help him. I think they will try to do all of those things. They're going to try to win week to week. They're going to try to win week to week by limiting turnovers, limiting Mitch Trubisky's mistakes while developing him and relying on their running game and their defense and hopefully a schedule opening up. And that's what we've been talking about the first 40 minutes of the show and what I'm imagining is going to be a lot of this football season. It's, if you want to evaluate the here and now, we can do that. If you want to evaluate Mitch in the big picture, we can do it, but it's a different conversation. Coaching in a big picture, different conversation. Like, there's a lot of balls up in the air here when you're talking about this Bears team.
There is, and there's opportunities for conflicted kinds of rooting. Sean, I'd say don't worry about the coach and, you know, rooting for a coaching change, because who the hell knows what's going to happen with all of that. I'd say keep your eyes on the prize, which is Mitch and development. And if at some point it becomes even more obvious that they're out of the division, there still will be enough games to shift, right? There'll be enough games to shift the focus and open things up for Mitch. And I would hope that things open up in either scenario, whether you are trying to win games towards the end or whether you are realizing you're out of the division and you shift the focus to where it needs to be. So keep your eyes on that prize, but enjoy a few wins along the way.
You want to get to the surprising Cubs news?
Yeah, I think we should, because it was a surprise, and there might be more coming, is what I'm hearing as well.
It's Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That was Theo Epstein on Friday at his kind of State of the Union, end of the season Cubs press conference, which went for about an hour. You know, give the Cubs some credit there for the appearance of transparency, right? Like, that is, we will sit up here and answer any questions you guys have. We're not going to talk to you guys for a while after this, but we'll see you at the winter meetings.
Mm-hmm. It's always easy to talk.
That's what he said. He said, it's always easy to talk, and he did it there. Also putting it on Joe, because now Chris Bosio is out, but he said there, anyone he wants back will be back.
That's the right cut. We both came in thinking that's what we need to hear. Campy went back through and found it. So it's Joe's call, and Joe made the call on
Chris Bosio, Cubs pitching coach, is out. Jim Hickey, his former pitching coach in Tampa Bay, interviewing today.
Jim Hickey is worth creating an opening for. I'll be shocked if Jim Hickey is not here as the next pitching coach. Those guys love working together. Hickey has loved working for Madden, said glowing things, and vice versa. And Jim Hickey is really, really good. I know that there were some Bosio people on that pitching staff. He did wonders for Jake Arrieta.
Hendricks
for sure. But Arrieta's probably gone. So maybe Hendricks is upset. John Lester's not upset. John Lester will be okay with this. Got some up, some down. And Joe, this is clearly Joe's call here. Bosio did a lot of good things, right?
They had an amazing amount of success under him,
They did. And the sign-in flips with Mahalam, they turned into something. Scott Feldman, they turn into Arrieta. Then he helps Arrieta transform.
Arrieta's Cy Young season. Hendricks and Lester finishing 1-2 in ERA. Arrieta no-hitters. Mm-hmm. Combined starter ERA of 2.96 in the World Series year. Those all from Chris Kampka, putting them together on Twitter. Some of the Bosio accolades with his time here.
You know, the one thing the organization pointed out was the walk rate, the brutal walk rate this year and last year. And I know that they were pissed that they couldn't find a way. The coaches couldn't find a way to get Justin Wilson dialed in, and whether that was him, obviously the human issue with Justin Wilson, and to get Carl Edwards consistent. I mean, those two guys, that destroyed your bullpen.
Right.
Not having one of them even available and having the other one implode on the biggest of stages. So that was a point of frustration for front office. But I think Joe did this because he wants Jim Hickey. And if he gets Jim Hickey, it's going to be a very, very good hire, a very, very good pitching coach.
Right. So, you know, he brought Dave Martinez over from Tampa. He likes the familiarity, right? It's been like 11 years in a row with Martinez on his staff. He worked together with Hickey for 8 years. Wade Davis was there with him in Tampa. He's got a lot of success with high-end starters and middle-of-the-road starters and all this. He's got a very impressive resume. I tend to come out on this that, like you said, because there are some ups and some downs, and there's relationships with 13 pitchers at a time on a big league staff, 12 pitchers, whatever it is, plus all the other guys. I tend to think that these types of stories are a little overstated in terms of their significance, because some guys will be happy, some guys will be mad, and I think that the Cubs pitching staff last year would have been good with or without Chris Bosio.
Ah, so you're one of those guys. You're one of those over overrating of a pitching coach and or a hitting coach?
Yeah. No, I think that a pitching coach is the most valuable coach on the team. So
I would agree with that.
On the scale of significance, this would be at the top. But I don't, you know, I don't think it matters that much.
I disagree. I think there is a collection. It gets kind of tiring sometimes to collect all the anecdotal evidence because it's based on the relationships. But that's really what it is, the specific relationships and the specific communication. And
right, but like you just said, though, right? Lester might not care,
mm-hmm.
but Hendricks does. So is it a bad firing because it affects Kyle Hendricks, but a good one because it helps John Lester?
No, not necessarily. But it's about everybody else too. That look, Hendricks will have to, you know, get over any upset feelings and move forward and find a new mesh with the new guy. But the new guy is such a good communicator. This is the thing about Hickey. He's supposed to be such a good communicator that he will be able to communicate with Kyle Hendricks. He will listen and learn what Kyle Hendricks does and work well with him. I just think this guy, Hickey, is worth creating the opening for. So, I mean, Hickey's had the success in Tampa. What, 8 of the last 10 seasons, they've been top 5 in ERA in the American League. And before that, he's in Houston, where they were second in the National League in team ERA in both 2005, 2006. So, look, I think Bosio was very good and had a lot of anecdotal success and specific success with certain guys, but one of those big guys is gone. I think if Arrieta was staying and you had, you know, a couple of starters that mattered, then you might have to consider it a different way. So I think the total of the anecdotal evidence does matter.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think we talk sometimes about how much of an impact a manager makes in a team, and that can be overstated. So I'm not saying it's insignificant, and I think it's interesting that they've said one thing and now have done another.
That is interesting, and that's why you get people clamoring for tell us what's going on,
right? And so that creates drama and questions and speculation, and mm-hmm. are people on different pages of that? And we were talking about looking for signs of things breaking apart when you don't have the ultimate success, mm-hmm. like the end of Theo's time in Boston, and if that's going to creep in here. So it's absolutely a story, and it's absolutely one worth discussing and following and all of that. And if Jim Hickey comes here and Jim Hickey is great, then awesome. But it'd be very hard-pressed for me to believe that the Cubs will have more pitching success with Jim Hickey than they did under Chris Bosio.
Well, yeah, that'll be
it's basically impossible.
Well, it's conceivable based on this past year. That walk rate improves, if they sign the right guy. You know,
past year, sure, but over Chris Bosio, will Jim Hickey have more success in his run with the Cubs than Chris Bosio did?
I don't know.
With a Cy Young winner and a World Series?
Will the number of guys who credit him be, you know, similar or more than the number of guys who credit Bosio? One can hope. I remember when we were talking to Theo about the Brewers, like, are the Brewers for real? We were asking before the break, and he's like, yeah, I'm pissed off at people saying the Brewers aren't for real. They've got a great pitching coach. He'll talk about Ray Searidge in Pittsburgh. He'll talk about Derek. It's Derek Johnson, right? In Milwaukee. Like, these guys matter. And because they will find somebody with another organization who's being used improperly, like Arrieta, and they will use what they can to fix him. Just a quickie on Jim Hickey's background. Think of David Price, Matt Garza, Chris Archer, James Shields, Jeremy Hellickson, Alex Cobb, some relievers you haven't heard of, like Brad Boxberger maybe, or Alex Colome. There's a lot of guys. And Cobb specifically says incredible things about Hickey. I bet Cobb's coming. If Hickey comes, I bet Alex Cobb is coming as your free agent pitcher. And that would all make sense.
Ron Coomer should join us in studio in the 10 o'clock hour. We will discuss the relationship between the coaches and the players in terms of positionally and their value. And, of course, plenty more on the Bears. And Jay Zawoski's like, are we going to pretend that a local team exists finally? And he's not talking about the Hawks. We'll get to it. It's Spiegel and Park. It's on the Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.